Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Find the game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The horn sounds. Catching up with Coonan is fueled by Georgia Natural Gas. G&G keeps it simple with great rates and reliable service. So get our lowest rate of the year at G&G.com because these days, simple is just what you need.
Let's talk to Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, as we count down. Believe it or not, as we get into September, guys, camp is going to be right around the corner for the Hawks in the NBA. Steve Coonan, how are you doing today?
Doing terrific. How are you guys?
We're good, man. Trying to figure out what's going on with the Falcons, and they're up there in Indy getting ready for their second preseason game. We got college football looming. I mean, high school football tonight, first real big Friday night across the state. So there's a lot going on. I want to ask you and start with these ownership shakeups around the NBA. We just saw the Lakers get sold again. It feels like, and I think in Minnesota they have an ownership shakeup as well. It feels like flipping houses right now, right? And you feel like most of these owners get into this for the long haul, and then ultimately, you know, 25, 30 years later, they sell the team. Well, what do you make of this this shakeup of what's going on around the NBA with ownership?
I think they're both the Lakers and the Timberwolves are anomalies. Obviously, the gentleman who, Mark Walters, who is selling the Lakers, seems to have some urgency in doing that.
Indeed.
That,
IRS.
That, you know, was created. But I think the premise that people are flipping teams is a little exaggerated. I was listening. I'm a big fan of Bill Simmons. And when I wasn't listening to you guys today, I was listening to him and talking about the role of private equity in sports and just the ignorance, candidly, which doesn't prevent people from talking about it, was stunning to me. You know, private equity is a group of investors who raise money and they look for a portfolio of investments that they believe will gain value over time.
Right.
And sports has a very strong track record of doing just that for an entire litany of reasons, from scarcity to popularity to it's the only live thing on television anymore. And I could go on and on and on. But I think both of these things, and I don't really know much about the Timberwolves because I've been really busy today and haven't seen much, that might have been pre-negotiated when they bought the team years ago, from what I briefly have heard.
Right. Steve Coonan with us, guys, CEO of the Hawks. The one thing, I mean, we were a little worried a couple of years ago when private equity starts monkeying around with college sports because, you know, what happens when they become the biggest voice in the room? And, I mean, although maybe in some cases it would attract more accountability and you might move on from a dysfunctional coach or an athletic director, but it's still good for the fans, though, right? Because at the end of the day, they see this as an investment they can't lose.
Either.
Right.
I think college sports is the Wild Wild West now. I mean, I think it's far different. We in the NBA are allowed to have private equity. I think they can own up to 20% of a team. We actually have private equity at the partner at the Hawks who does not own that. You never heard of them. You never will. They don't go to owner meetings. They don't participate in any decisions. They're an investor that holds, you know, equity in the team and has done well as the team has appreciated over time. But like I said, what I'm hearing in the misinformation and the boogeyman that's trying to be created as a narrative, I have not seen in the league, and neither have any of the other people that I've talked to.
Let's compliment the Hawks here, because Sam Quinn, who writes about the NBA and has for a very long time, put out his best front offices and ranked them. And we are in these rankings. And this is the criteria, Steve, and I just want to lay this out because I think he's on to something here. Having a coherent plan. Creativity, malleability, meaning obviously, you know, you can, the best front offices, as he says, are the ones that win consistently, but can also build in a variety of ways. He talks about being self-aware. The organization is aligned. And he says the owner is willing to spend. He has us as one of the tops. Obviously, New York, they just won the championship. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City's in here. He talks about the Celtics with their moves recently. The Spurs, obviously. It totally makes sense. He puts the Jazz in there with Danny Ainge and what they've been able to do here recently and how they're building. The Pacers. Do you think we're all of those things? Because as I look at our front office and, you know, I'm going, okay, I think we have a coherent plan. I do think that Auntie has been creative, and everybody does seem to be aligned.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a perfect description of who we are, down from Tony Ressler, who, by the way, his family is into this business for the next several decades. I think we're very aligned. Did we make the list? I hadn't heard about
yes,
this.
Yes, yes. We are, ranking-wise, I think we're right outside the top 10, but we are on the list of NBA front office rankings, and we're not in the worst front office rankings. That's what I'm telling you.
Thank God for that. Do you think we can sue them because we're not in the top 10?
So it's just, you know, again, like the Heat are in here. Pat Riley's done it for years, and you argue, like today, we just talked about Klay Thompson. I guess he's going to go to the Miami Heat.
Mavs bought him out, Steve, so yeah, he's going to sign to work with Bam and the Greek Freak down there.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. I like that move.
All right. It's just more trouble for the Hawks because the East just keeps adding pieces, albeit a veteran.
How old's that veteran?
Well, Steve says Klay is washed, Carl.
See, this is why I love you, Mike.
CEO,
you're a translator.
Hawks CEO says Klay washed to South Florida fans.
There's going to be some aggregator. I, by the way, 92.9 writes crap like that, so don't do that, please.
But yeah.
Steve says he'd like to wash with Klay dishes. And pottery.
All right.
No, man, I think the point I'm making is this is the recognition that I think we've been looking for, right? Again, I don't want to be on a list of worst front offices, even if it's perception, and you're battling that. I do think we are making a lot of good moves and certainly setting ourselves up for the future.
I am so aligned with this. I think the world of what Amsi and Quinn and the group that works with them, I was over there this morning, what they're doing is they are honest in their assessment. You always have to understand where your team is in the hierarchy. And if you look at some teams have made moves that are going to hurt them for the future and kill their flexibility. Some teams like us have put together pieces of a puzzle, knowing there's still more pieces that need to be added, but you have the assets and the flexibility to go do that. And I think that's what they're talking about. When you look at that, when you see the Knicks brought in OG Anunoby, you look that they brought in Jalen Brunson, you look that they brought in Karl Anthony Towns, those pieces have been done in the last 3 to 4 years. So nobody does this overnight, but you have to fit those pieces of the puzzle. And the way you do that is have an honest assessment of your talent, your needs, the way you play, the people that comprise the team. And I think those are the elements that you were just talking about. And I think it's very richly deserved by Anse and his group to be on that list, as they should be.
Right. And as Anse told us, he didn't think, you know, they were one player away. I know we talked about a lot of big names that were out there, the Jaylen Brown thing. We weren't ready for that. I mean, at some point, I guess the question will be, when will we, I guess we'll know, Steven, we're perennially one of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference, and that's when Tony Ressler gets us into one of these luxury aprons and we start spending a little bit more? Unless we can do it.
Doesn't control this.
We do it organically and the rookies and all the guys we brought in have success. Yeah. And then you augment that with an established star.
Exactly. And again, this isn't, in our world, it's not a Tony decision. It's an Anse decision. He has the green light today. But if you're a general manager, we love our fans, we love you guys, but there's complexity in this business with second apron. Look at what you saw so many teams do to create more flexibility. And you can't just go into the tax like you could in the 90s and the early 2000s, because there's ramifications and blocks now that allow you not to execute some of your strategies. So it's not about spending money, Michael, as we've talked about 7,000 to 8,000 times.
No, and again, Kroenke's getting killed in Denver. They just traded their fourth best player because he's too cheap to be in the luxury tax. I get it.
Nah, that's not fair.
Well, I mean, look, I'm just saying. I know we're not there yet.
It's not fair to Denver. I'm just saying right. to you. Right. You know, I don't know the case behind Peyton Watson is the one you're referring to.
Correct. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Correct. But I'm going to call Stan when we hang up, and if I find out anything, I'm going to buzz you right back.
Okay. Hey, did you?
Denver's tax bill, by the way, $33 million right now.
Yeah. And look, Phoenix is a prime example of this. When they signed all those guys and it didn't work, and then they had to figure out how to move on. Did you have a relationship with Don Nelson, who just recently passed away?
I know his son, Donnie, through friends in Dallas. But no, I did not know Don. He was successful at every single thing he did in professional basketball. Pretty amazing guy.
Yeah,
did you know him?
I did. In covering the NBA, he was always fun. And then, you know, like Steven Jackson I know, and Steven played for him, and he was like, dude, Don Nelson was just – he was a character. And it's the guys like that, Steve, that I think we forget about – that, you know, would have a beer at practice, right? I mean, like, he was that guy who was loose with his teams. But I was more fascinated after he passed away, and I think it's the forgotten thing, is how good he was as a player with the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Championship player.
Yes.
Championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the young listeners probably don't know who we're talking about, but he was, not everybody on every team is a star. In fact, we've learned a lot of times when there's too many, it doesn't work. But Don Nelson filled the role and was an incredible teammate and made the Boston Celtics teams he were on win championships. And he was a key piece and a hell of a coach. And ended up being a pot farmer in Hawaii. So
that's right.
Life ain't bad.
Right. That's right.
And for those who didn't watch that Celtics series that I think Bill Simmons produced, Don Nelson hits that amazing shot in 69.
That's right.
Bill Russell, player, coach. I mean, just some amazing stuff with Don's history. And as you said, all those guys, Steve, like the Doug Moe's of the world, Kevin Lockery, who was here in Atlanta, this Fratello, those just good guys back in the day.
Absolutely. And there's great guys still today in the NBA at all levels.
Steve Koonin, appreciate you joining us. What's your plans for the weekend, man? What you got going on?
Low-key weekend, a little dinner tonight with a couple of customers for the team, and then Falcons at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's see how that's going, even though you can't judge anything by preseason. But not much. Gearing up for football.
Yeah.
You know, working on my wardrobe to make sure that I show the proper colors.
Okay. Well, it's right around the corner.
Right.
Dogs will be playing here before you know it. We'll be in the midst of college football and the NFL. Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, thank you again.
All right, guys. Be well.
Cool. Good stuff. He didn't like that luxury tax thing.
But hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your
reality
podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.